This is the Book Legion Podcast, where we review thought-provoking books to give our Legionnaires the knowledge they need to dominate the next level of their life.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining me this week on the Book Legion. My name is Ty Evans. This week, we're going to be covering Anthony Iannarino's book, Eat Their Lunch. So first, let's start with who Anthony Iannarino is. First and foremost, obviously, he's an author. This is his third book, Eat Their Lunch. The other two books were both bestsellers as well. Anthony Iannarino is also a podcast host. He has a sales podcast, Man in the Arena, and he's also a sales consultant slash coach, and that's what he's best well known for. He's best friends with Jed Blunt, so Jed often talks about him. He hangs out with guys like Mark Hunter, like I said, Jed Blunt, Tony Hughes. He kind of runs in that circle of authors and sales kind of gurus, so to speak. And he's got a great newsletter that comes out every Sunday that I also get. So this whole book, Eat Their Lunch, is a sales book. So what we're going to be covering today is all sales related, which applies to everybody and every aspect of life. To me, my great friend Niraj Kapoor wrote a book, Everybody Works in Sales, and I couldn't say it better. Everybody does work in sales. So we're going to cover Eat Their Lunch today. I'm going to go over my three top takeaways first and let you know my overall thoughts and if I recommend the book or not. So the first chapter I want to talk about is chapter 2, which is called Capturing Mindshare. And so, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people, right, they're always like, how do you have competitive displacement? How do you capture mindshare of your competitors? And the first way you start to get them to capture mindshare is understanding where they're coming from. And they're coming from a place of complacency. Most people do not want to change their vendors. They don't want to change, you know, their manufacturers. They don't want to have to change their insurance companies. You know, it's that saying that people are often would rather stick with the devil they know than the devil they don't, right? And so a lot of people just become very complacent, even when they are unhappy. Sometimes it can take a lot of really unhappiness and a lot of pain in order to make someone, you know, make a move when it comes to sales. You know, people are motivated always by two factors, right? Pain and pleasure. And oftentimes the pain has to be pretty severe for us to want to make a business change. So this chapter is about how do you start to capture mind share so you can set yourself up for better competitive displacement. So the first thing you want to really start doing, whatever industry or vertical you're trying to attack, is you always want to keep track of what he calls in the book super trends. So super trends that are things that are going that are currently happening and projected to happen within your industry. And so what I've always done is I take these super trends, and he talks a lot about this in the book, is that you're going to present commanding facts about, hey, this is just the state of the industry and where we're going, and then interpret, what does that mean? Why is that important to someone? Because a lot of times when you're dealing with, especially B2B sales, you know, business owners, CFOs, CEOs, right, COOs, they're super busy. And they are keeping track, obviously, of industry trends, but not in the way that you are and your particular vertical. So for by you being able to provide facts and insight and then coming around with a concrete solution and develop insight and value about why those numbers or why those trends are important can really shed some real light. So I'll give you an example. So for me, I work in healthcare. And so oftentimes I'll talk to different employers about how COBA participants oftentimes make up 1-2% of any given population within a company, but they actually account for 11-15% of overall claims spend, right? So having education around who is going on COBRA, now a business owner can never force somebody off of COBRA, but they absolutely can provide different companies that will provide them different types of education and even some more affordable different types of coverage if they went out on their own, right? So ultimately having that person leave the employer's coverage would help reduce their overall claim spend, which helps their overall long-term goal of saving money on the back end when it comes to their renewal rate the next year. So that's just one way I can talk to a business owner. Hey, you're probably not aware of how much these people are actually costing you that don't work here. Let's see if we can provide them some additional education and some resources to get them onto their own, so it'll be help you as a business owner, right? So that's something they're not consciously thinking of, but I work, that's my vertical that pertains to their business. So I'm able to identify some facts and give them statistically how much it usually makes up, and they'd be able to provide some insight on why doing something that they had not been previously doing before would make sense for them. So this is really what he's talking about in chapter 2, and then use your experience. See, I saw another business owner did the same thing, took advantage of the same similar type of program, and they were able to save X, right? So now we're bringing a full circle by having commanding facts, what they should mean to them, and then bringing in your experience. When you start to do this, you start to capture more of the mind share, which makes you more influential and gets them a little bit closer down the sales track of you potentially closing the business. Now, the second chapter I want to talk to you guys about is chapter three, which is creating an opening through nurturing campaigns and pursuit plans. This is where lots of salespeople really get it wrong, is that you have to start nurturing a lead over a long period of time. The average salesperson follows up statistically 2 to 3 times. In 2021, it takes you on average 10 prospecting attempts to reach a prospect. So think about that. Most salespeople give up after 3 attempts, but on average it takes you 10. And this is why most people fail in sales. So you have to develop different types of way to really nurture your leads. And this is what he talks a lot about, is creating content that you can share that would provoke them enough to want to start to change, right? I talked a little bit about providing stats, numbers. If you're having a hard time getting a hold of something, one of the things that I often do will share a podcast that's relevant to them and to their industry, where they can get some knowledge and some value. Again, obviously you're not pitching them, has nothing to do with you, but you're the one that provided value to them, maybe shedding light on something in a podcast like we just talked about that they weren't aware of before within their vertical. That's a way for you to be able to share content, get some mind share, but it's part of you pursuing and having a strategic way and the way that you attack a prospect. And this is what we call sales sequencing. So sales sequencing is, Anthony Iannarino talks about building on a whole quarter of touches. So out of a quarter, I'm going to touch a prospect that's never heard of me before, doesn't know, like, or trust me. I want to have 8 touches with them, right, over the course of the next 12 to 13 weeks. And you say, hey, week 1, I'm going to do a call and email. Week 2, I'm going to do a call. Week 3, I'm not going to do anything. Week 4, I'm going to send them a LinkedIn invite with an end message about a podcast, right? So you start to roadmap out how you're going to engage and start to capture and nurture mindshare along with these prospects. So chapter 3 was a long chapter. And within the book, there's all kinds of basically like little sub-chapters. But it's really important that they dive down on how you be able to provide proof, what sales sequencing is, and how you start to nurture leads over the course of a long term. Because when it comes to sales, the best approach is to look at this as a marathon and not a sprint, right? And especially when you're in B2B, you can have sales cycles. Mine can be anywhere from 6 to 12 months. So if I'm just hitting them with 1 or 2 calls, 3 calls, I'm never going to even get into the sales cycle process, right? So it's a long nurturing process that takes place with a lot in B2B sales. So the more you can come with a really defined plan and one that you continue to reevaluate, the better off that you'll be. Now, chapter 8 is the last chapter that I want to talk about, which is finding a path to the deal. And again, this is where a lot of people don't take enough time to really understand an org structure or an org chart. So first, you got to start to understand what's happened with the stakeholders and where are they all at? Because oftentimes stakeholders and or influencers or decision makers, whatever you want to call them, are not always going to be on the same page. You may have 2 people really in your camp and you may have 3 people that really aren't, and they're all going to argue about over the decision. So it's start to understand on your path to the deal, how do you start to build consensus with everybody that's involved in the decision? The first thing you need to do is to identify who's involved in the decision in your first discovery meetings. One of my favorite questions when I start talking and I'm starting to gain interest, is there anybody else that would be involved in making this decision? Right in the first call, when I'm in a discovery call, it's one of the first questions I like to ask, because if there is, I want to identify who those influencers or stakeholders may be so we can bring them in quicker, so we can get everybody on the same page, so it makes the deal flow much easier, so we're not on the, you know, what is that, the 1-yard line, right? And then you have a stakeholder that was never involved in the process now going to throw a monkey wrench in it at the 11th hour. I've seen that time and time again. So you want to early on get everybody in on the same page and identify who those people are. So chapter 8 does a great job of breaking down about finding your path to the deal, being able to distinguish the difference between a decision maker and an influencer, and how to get everybody on the same page and what to do if everybody's not on the same page, which is just as valuable. So overall, I would say for me, it's a top five sales book I've ever read, only because a lot of books don't really focus on the sequencing portion of it. Some people kind of breeze by it or tell you you should have one. He really breaks down and gives you some real life examples of some really powerful sales sequences. I've done this exercise with my sales teams where I've made my reps actually build out sales sequences and use them. And we would even do it per geographical territories like he talks about. You could build out three and you could use it for one city here, another city there, and then start to see correlations. Hey, I see here they always respond to my week three email, right? So then I want to start to always have that week three email, where these other two cities, they weren't responding to my different type of week three email. So you want to mix it up and start to cultivate the best sales sequencing possible. So this exceptional book, not many cover this aspect of it. He's one of the best minds in sales today, in my personal opinion. I would go grab his other two books. I'm definitely going to link this book in the show notes. It's between about $17 and $21, this book. A little more expensive side to some of the books I've posted, but in relative terms, that this book could generate you millions of dollars worth of business. $20 is a hell of an investment for the amount of knowledge you get out of a book like this, because it's so tactical. There's no fluff. It's not theory. It's very much do this and do X and you get Y type result. So I love the book. So again, I'll be posting the show notes. So thank you guys so much. I definitely recommend the book. I give it two thumbs up. And you guys haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast and share with some other book lovers. We're creating a great legionnaire movement of people that are joining us, reading books, getting smarter together. So if you could share this with some other book lovers and send me recommendations. The booklegion at gmail is my email address to send me over some different books that you guys might have recommendations on that have been impactful to you. Or go follow me on Instagram at The Book Legion. I would love to be able to communicate with you there. Without further ado, thanks so much. I really appreciate everybody's support.